It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Homer Hour. Today is the Jason Wilde. He will be the official Jason Wilde Yingling hotline. It'll be the Tim Van Voren Yingling hotline. And then your calls at 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text line. Yes. I'm the bad guy because you need to know everything about Jonathan Gannon. 2 years defensive coordinator with Philadelphia Eagles. 3 years head coach at Arizona. His winning percentage, 29%. Doesn't mean you don't hire him. It means that's all his resume. 29% 3 years is really bad. Like, really, really bad. So, will he be a good coordinator? We'll find out. Would I have hired him? Might have. But the first thing I'd ask him, what's the first question you would ask him if you were considering Jonathan Gannon? What the hell happened in Arizona? What do you mean? They were horrible when you got there. The next year you did much better. Then they were horrible the third year. He might say something good enough that I'd still want to hire him as coordinator. Because we know one thing for sure. Ain't nobody hiring him as head coach. I don't care how bad Arizona is. Nobody, his parents, if they're still alive, would not hire him as head coach if they owned a team. But as a coordinator, he did pretty good, so the Packers hired him. And the reason I bring it up is you can't talk about Jonathan Gannon without knowing historically horrible as a head coach in 3 years. Just as he was good as a defensive coordinator with the Philadelphia Eagles, and you're hiring him as a defensive coordinator. That's stuff that just amazes me. Like, we don't want to bring it up. No, you, as the head coach, you're in charge of everything. You're in charge of the offense. You're in charge of the defense. You're in charge of the special teams. So, I don't think it was a huge factor. It couldn't have been. If it's any factor at all, you're not going to hire him to do anything. Maybe to be a position coach. But 1-800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liz is more. The Brewers. Cheerio, yes, back his first day back. That's right. Fantastic. And I noticed the walk. And for those who think that I have oversold the issue of his ability with play discipline, I think Jeff Levering was on, what show was he on? Was he on the morning show? Can't remember. I think it was today, Jen. And just listen to him about, in terms of addressing his, the importance of play discipline. So, That's the only thing that's preventing him from being a superstar player. And he drew a walk, and I don't know, just go look up Jeff Levering and hear what he has to say. And you'll go, damn, Homer's way ahead of the curve. He nailed this one. So that'll be what everybody privately in the Brewers is watching. His ability to take pitches, his ability to draw a certain number of walks. Very young, he can solve it, but that's what's could and most likely will prevent him from being a superstar. He's already a good player. It's a question of how good can you be when you don't draw, or you draw very, 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 very few walks. Sugar free. You're on the Yuengling Sugar Free Hotline. How about that?
Yes, I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Yes.
But I don't like your intro today. Oh. I always, at 5 o'clock for the last, how many year and a half since you had your Homer Hour, Huey Lewis has started your show.
Doesn't anymore.
And I am very disappointed.
You got to move on. There are different rules. You can't use music. So if you listen to this show only because of Huey Lewis, I view that as a failure. But, yeah, there are different rules
what
now.
What is you going on? There's a new rule?
Now, yes, you can't use music. It has to do with the fact that everything we do now goes on YouTube. It's very popular, very successful. People like to look at me and see if I have my hairpiece on or hat. And in order to use it on YouTube as we wish, you can't use music that is copyrighted, has some license. So
is this new today? Is this new today?
I think it started May 1st. You just noticed it today.
May 1st.
Something.
Wow.
So you're going to have
to. Did anybody clearly state it like you did today?
I don't know.
I feel like you have clearly stated. Sugar Free's lying to you. He hasn't been listening. This changed last Monday.
Okay, last
this
Monday.
This is show 7 right. With the new intro.
But, I mean, that basically what I said is what's going on, right?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Okay. Last Monday.
Small
like
price
how many
to pay.
Days ago?
Which is more important, listening or watching this show without Huey Lewis or thinking that Gannon will be a good defensive coordinator, even though he historically sucked as a head coach.
It's hard. Really hard. All right, I'll move fast.
No, I mean, that's fine. I miss it, too. I miss Huey Lewis. It's very good, but, you know, life changes. I love the rotary phone. It's gone. You know?
I had a brain fart, too.
Go ahead.
I had a brain fart today. I didn't even know who I was. They asked who was the caller. I'm like, who am I today? Wow.
No,
I'm sugar free. I couldn't even spit out sugar free.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Other things that I miss because I'm old. I thought the Pinto was a really nice car. I have to think of other stuff. Penny candy was great. That's gone. A nickel candy bar. You used to get a big candy bar for a nickel. That's gone. But, yeah, you're going to have to the success of YouTube. If we didn't do anything on YouTube, I think we probably could still play it. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, and we're not sugar-free, even though it bothers you. We're not giving up YouTube. YouTube has become very, very popular, and I think the more people you get on YouTube, the more they give you money something or – right? Isn't that, I don't know.
I don't know that they give me and you money, but somebody gets some
somebody
money.
Gets some money. Yeah, because then they have people advertise. I mean, it fascinates me because I watch YouTube all the time and various things, and I can't remember anything that I've actually observed in terms of advertisement, but I'm probably not a good person of that. So yes, Huey Lewis in the news is gone, and whatever A wants to play is fine. I've never listened to a show in my life because of the music. I like it, don't like it, but if the key to a show is the music, then it's a bad show. So if you give up on the Homer Hour because of the music, that's the way it goes. You didn't really like the show that much anyway. And where and how A gets his stuff for the music, I don't know and I don't care. But if you'd like to assist him in some way, if you're an expert on what you can do, then go ahead. I think we still use Duke Tomato and the All-Star Frogs or Duke Tomato and the Power Trio. So they haven't come after us, or maybe he doesn't Maybe he doesn't. It isn't his. Isn't covered. I don't know.
Oh.
Jason Wilde. Wonder what he'll say about 29%. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Jason Wilde, currently on assignment. Or is he available? I think he's currently on assignment. Arizona 2-2, and the quarterback got hurt last year. Oh. Jason Wilde on the Jason Wilde Yingling hotline is now available. Good afternoon, Jason.
What do you call me so early for? You're never on time. That's part of your brand.
I don't know. Okay, everything's changed now. We have new music, and maybe I ought to change. I believe that in discussing Jonathan Gannon, you must mention 29%.
And what is that?
That's what his winning percentage is, a head coach.
Well, he's not a head coach for the Packers.
Correctly. It's correct. He's not.
So who gives a damn what he was?
I think you would assess, and you would do it easily with anybody else, that that's something you would look at. Yes, he's not. He was a defensive coordinator 2 years in his career. 2 years.
Yeah. Now that is something that we are on the same page on, because I feel like there is a level of praise and honor given to him that may be a little bit unwarranted at this juncture. That's sort of been a good question for yesterday, but I don't think he called the defense in Arizona either. I think his defensive coordinator, who stayed on with Matt LaFleur's brother, pretty sure he called the defense. And so I am very curious as to how this goes, because, you know, his first defense in Philly was mid.
18th in points given up. His second one was 8th.
Yeah, and so the second one was good.
The next year they were 30th.
After he left, you mean?
Then second and then 5th. So,
yeah.
They've been outstanding the last couple of years.
They have been, but, Vic Fangio. Like, look, he could be Vic Fangio, right? Vic Fangio obviously has been a lot of places, been a coordinator for a lot of years. But he had a head coaching opportunity in Denver, and it failed. It was bad. And that doesn't make you a bad coordinator. That just means that – and it doesn't even necessarily make you a bad head coach. Like, in fairness to Gannon, he was the coach in Arizona. And if Matt LaFleur's brother, Mike, can turn it around there, then God bless him, because – they obviously had some success there under Ken Whisenhunt when Kurt Warner was the quarterback. But by and large, they have been a disappointment.
By the way, Vic Fangio was 39% as head coach. And prior to being head coach, he had been a defensive coordinator for how many years? 100.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, yes. No doubt. So,
right.
But again, I don't. What I'm saying is I don't think we know one way or the other just how, like, I don't think, let me be clear, I don't think Jonathan Gannon is bad.
I don't think he's bad either.
But
He was bad as a head coach, historically bad.
Right. But okay. I don't know if he's good as a coordinator.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's great. Like I think, again, every person, every – all people are different people. All teams are different teams, even for the same organization, the 25 Packers versus the 26 Packers, for instance. So I know we have to be careful about putting too much stock into these various things. At the same time, I think it's our responsibility to look at track records and say, just like we did with Joe Barry,
yeah.
Joe Barry had better talent. and was with a better organization, and he had better results than what he had in Detroit and what he had in Washington, right? So in fairness to him, his track record was not indicative of how good he did in Green Bay. But the bottom line is all these guys have track records, and they bear being looked at closely. And the weird thing about Gannon's is that he's got more years as a head coach than he has as a coordinator.
Yes. And now we're talking. Now we're talking. Yeah.
I felt like that's where I was building to all along. But
I thought so. That's why I brought it up. That now your discussion of, I mean, he is a huge unknown. Huge. This based on his resume. He's had one impressive year. Sucked as a head coach for 3 years. Was only a defensive coordinator for 2 years. And had one good year. And they appear to have done even better without him in a couple years. That's what the mood that I want to present. He could end up to being a good coach. He is not a gamble. He is a huge gamble. Or
no,
you might
on.
Say huge. Just you just say gamble.
We don't have a thorough enough picture.
Right. Isn't that a gamble when you're unknown? You hired a guy to be the defensive coordinator at a time when you believe you might be able to win the Super Bowl, and you have incredibly small knowledge as to what you can expect, right?
Right, but wouldn't it be a huge gamble if you hired a first-time coordinator who's never coordinated anything?
That would be a bigger gamble, yes.
Okay, then how much bigger does it get than huge gamble?
Unbelievable gamble.
Okay, all right, so I'm just
no,
saying.
No. Hold on. This is why I bring it up with you. I will change. Yeah. I will not use huge anymore. Huge is as Anderson said.
You need a
governor. Yes. No. I'm happy. That's why I bring it up with you. Huge is gone. Gamble is all I want as part of it for people to understand that.
Yeah.
Given that he had been just a coordinator for only 2 years, and while he's not the head coach, as a head coach he was historically horrible. How much does that factor in? I'm not sure, and nobody's sure. But
yeah, he's a bigger gamble than he has been presented as.
Yes, excellent. Yeah, that should be your story. Use that as the headline.
I already wrote about him. I got to write about something else.
All right, today. So what did you write about him? I'm more than interested.
I wrote about his I don't have a scheme spiel, which
yeah.
I mean, it's cute and it's fun.
It's crap.
It's different. I'm not going to go so far.
I'm going to go totally that with crap. You follow coaches. Every coach has an idea. They have a scheme or whatever.
He's got concepts and he's got
that he believes in the most.
And he's got preferences.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got all. No one is suggesting that he doesn't. What I'm saying
he
is
he tried
that,
to.
No, he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
And the way I asked the question, I think Strofe would vouch. Like I'm in on the joke too. Like, what? There's a reason why he said that for the shock factor, and there's a reason why. Yeah, in the interview with Sirianni, no doubt. And then my favorite part is then he went back to the well and did it with LaFleur, and used it again. Which hey, if it works, it works. But the bottom line is. Yes, of course, he has concepts he likes. And
you're going to tell me what they are.
Yeah, like he likes to play more zone coverage. He likes to play three safeties. He likes to diversify how he uses his edges, whether they're hand in the dirt or standing up. He uses a five-man front sometimes.
Yeah, Brian Bulaga emphasized the five-down, the jam front. He believes that's something he believes in.
And what did Bulaga say he thinks that is? Does he think it's a good thing?
No, he just wanted to say, that some people believe in that, and that what they tried to do offensively was gash down the middle. My premise was, he says that he doesn't have a scheme, and I said that's the biggest bunch of crap ever. All coaches have something they believe in, whatever they want to call it.
I would say, having done this as long as you have, which is even longer than I have, It is definitely not the biggest bunch of crap ever that we've gotten.
That's true. Okay, slight over exaggeration. It's crap. It's not the biggest ever. It's just crap.
Again, I
because we all try to figure out every coach, every coordinator you followed, you could tell him what he likes to do or what he believes in. And he's not going to adjust that based on the talent he has. He'll adjust it a little bit, but they're going to adjust to him. That's exactly what Bulaga said. You could listen to his. Coaches make the players adjust to what they believe in, not the other way around, as he tried to sell it.
No, that's not what Gannon does. He adjusts to them. Not
yeah,
the
that's
other
and
around.
That's crap too, because it doesn't happen.
The biggest.
No, it's not biggest. You've helped me tone down. It's just a gamble, and it's just crap. And I said, don't just leave it at that. No, it's what I call double down. You don't, you know, a demented moron. It wasn't necessary. Moron was good enough. So yes,
sufficient. Yeah, exactly. There
gamble
go.
Is
yep.
good enough. Gamble
you
is
and
good
the commissioner.
Enough.
Yep. Yeah.
Gamble is good enough. And but like you could name any offense. Like all right, Mike Holmgren. Did he adjust to the talent, or did the talent adjust to him?
No, but that's a different era.
Okay. All right. Let's get a current era. I would say so this. Like, I would say LaFleur. They adjust to
no,
him.
So see, no, no. Oh, I right. disagree.
Okay.
Look, he's adjusted. He adjusted how he runs the football. And got away from most of the outside zone stuff that he believes in and that worked so well with Aaron Jones, and replaced it with duo blocking and a lot of out of the shotgun runs, because that's what Josh Jacobs likes.
And it didn't work. Now he's
it
going back.
2 years ago.
Oh,
like it didn't work last year because Jacobs was hurt most of the year, played through it, and because their offensive line stunk. And if their offensive line stinks again, then Josh Jacobs isn't going to be productive. He's going to spend too much time, you know, getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. But if their offensive line blocks better and he stays healthy, now, in my personal opinion, this is an example of something that he should go back to doing what works for him instead of and make, you know, tell Josh Jacobs, hey, we love you. You're the best thing that happened to us in terms of our running game. You're a great leader in the locker room. You play through everything. Like, we have a ton of respect for you. But our offense functions better if we're running more outside zone. And we think you can do it and do it effectively. And then it's going to help our play action game by doing it. So if I think LaFleur actually probably overcorrected in terms of giving Josh Jacobs what he wants. And I don't think Josh Jacobs like threw some sort of hissy fit about it. I think he just said, hey, what do you like, you know, how do you like to run? And they'd seen it on film, obviously, from his Raiders time, and they adjusted to him. Now is it, maybe it's time to adjust back. You know, this whole thing about, you know, oh, we're getting back to year one of the offense. Like, if that's what LaFleur really wants to do, then he's also got to go back to doing more outside zone runs and doing more true play action. And, again, that's what got him the job. I mean, I still remember Joe Thomas on our show, just because he had obviously been with Kyle Shanahan in Cleveland, and he just kept saying over and over and over again how it makes it so hard on the defense because you can't tell what they're running in the play action game because it looks exactly the same for the first three steps of the play, and it throws everything off for the defender. So if that's what, I mean, they did go to, I understand that Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, but using that system, they did go to back-to-back NFC championship games. So maybe when you say something like, it's going to be a year one approach again, and we keep hearing we're going to be focused on the details. Well, does that mean you stopped focusing on the details? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So that would be an example of he adjusted to the player, and maybe it wasn't in their best interest.
The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, what do NFL coordinators do? Adjust their approach to the players or have the players adjust to his approach?
Well, what does it matter how people vote on that? I don't know. Like, I don't know what the other 31 defensive coordinators
do. Oh, come
do.
On.
Well, you don't know that.
But you've been doing this for how many years? If you have a, what do NFL coordinators do? Most
right, but the people voting,
yeah,
haven't covered the NFL for
right. But
years,
and I want to see what they think as to how much education we need to give them through you, because
oh my God,
it should be 80% have the players adjust to his approach. Or what do you think?
I will say this. The reason why this angle with Gannon is compelling is if he truly does this, which you don't believe he does, that does make him an outlier because most coordinators don't. Now, I would say this, and Strolf, there is, I think it's whoever Bill Huber of the Arizona Cardinals beat is, like the Sports Illustrated website guy. He has a video of LaFleur talking at his brother's hiring and says something great about adjusting the players to make sure stubborn and you, it's definitely on YouTube. And if you're stubborn and you say, I do it my way and you're going to adjust to me, you're basically a dinosaur. That has, I think that has changed significantly. So if you hear what LaFleur says there, I think it makes a pretty good case for that this generation of coaches, unlike Mike Holmgren, unlike the guys of that, you know, Mike Shanahan, as opposed to Kyle Shanahan, like, I think it makes a pretty compelling case that they don't operate that way anymore.
And now, my answer to you on that is, they say that. That's what's different.
No,
what's changed is what they say publicly, not what they do.
No. But I think what we have to be careful about is making it sound like they're doing like 85% what the players want. Like that part is bunk. Like it was with Mike Holmgren, it was probably like 0%, right? And now with Matt LaFleur, it's probably 18-23%, right? And with Jonathan Gannon, I don't know because we haven't really gotten to talk to any players and they haven't played a single snap of real football in his system. So once we have them as a resource, I think we'll have a better idea. I do think that he authentically, like when he said yesterday, you know, if there's something that I really like but you guys all hate it, we're going to throw it out. Like, that's what players want to hear. Now, you're not going to get to throw out everything and just, you know, freelance all the time. But I do think that he means that. And I do think philosophically he believes that if those guys have, again, you're old school. I'm not as old school, but like, this is a different era. Like they try for buy-in. I'll tell you another example of learning that.
What about the idea of passing the ball around and versus?
That's you're literally finishing my sentence.
Oh,
we're on the same wavelength because, and LaFleur admitted it, right? When I asked him after the draft, you know, did that turn out to be, you know, more difficult than you imagined to try and keep all these guys happy? And he said, yeah, it was a problem. And then he tried to,
he gets rid of the people that aren't happy.
So then he spins it as, well, it's a good problem. But now, you know, I think they have a very clear pecking order. Watson, when healthy, is one. Golden is two. And Reed is the slot guy who's probably going to be more productive than Golden, would be my prediction, if all three of them stay healthy. But now, I mean, you're at a point where Savion Williams is completely unproven as your four, and you had Chase Claypool in as a workout guy because you don't know, you know, Bo Melton, who you played at cornerback last year, is your five. And a year ago at this time, it was, oh, they got Dobbs, and they got Wicks, and they got Reed, and they got Watson coming back from the ACL, and now they've drafted Golden. Like, you know, Stenovich admitted it yesterday, too. Like, it just... it was more problematic than, and I think they knew all along it was problematic. They just didn't want to admit it was problematic.
Well, but it can be problematic because of the players. The problem is the players and not, that's what problematic. You get rid of the players that feel that way. You don't think they're justified in feeling that way, right? As an outsider, I'd go, that's how they seem to resolve it. People that had a problem, gone. Or is that not?
Yeah, but again, I don't, like, this is not the military. Like, they don't, I'm telling you, they don't operate that way anymore.
Okay, well, like, didn't they just operate that way with the wide receivers? The guys that were upset, if it's accurate, they're gone.
No, because they were never going to re-sign Dobbs because of what happened the previous season. And I don't think that they, if they only get one draft pick for Wicks, I'm not sure they make that trade. And again, I don't know if he was as disgruntled as, like, again, you're not going to trade your first round pick from last year. Sorry, it's windy here at the track meet. But, like, I think he was more disgruntled than anybody because he's sitting there watching Teteroa McMillan and Emeka Buka lead their new teams as rookies in receiving. And he's sitting there, he can't even get a touchdown in the regular season. So they've cleared the runway for him, and I'm eager to see how he performs. But no, it's just a different deal. And I think all these guys would tell you, all these coaches would say, you know, like a bunch of them are coaches' kids. And I bet they would say, you can't coach the way my dad coached. You know, like Goody's dad, John Gutekunst, was a head football coach in college, right? Minnesota and other places. Like, I think they have, whether you agree with them doing it or not, they have determined that they need to adjust.
Okay. We'll assess what they say versus what they do, right?
Yeah, but I don't have what they do yet.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what we'll have to watch to see if, in fact, they do what they say.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Fair enough.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yes, we will. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care of you.
It's a gamble, no more. Not a huge gamble. I can live with that. Tim Van Vorn coming up soon. I am next.
Back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports coming up soon. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business. For 130 years, Horicon Bank has helped Wisconsin businesses grow, doing banking differently since 1896. Today, that same local approach is now part of the Milwaukee business community, bringing decision-making closer to the people who matter most, you. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support real cash flow needs. Because when it comes to commercial lending, yes, commercial lending, Horicon Bank is now in the Milwaukee business community. Horicon Bank gets the job done. Together, commercial lending, doing good for 130 years. Tim Van Vorn, I did want to mention that ESPN did a huge thing on where the college football programs have done in the offseason. And in the Big Ten, they have Wisconsin ranked 14 of 18, which is fine. I wanted everybody to think as bad as possible so that I can get that over 6.5 wins. You can go look at it. Wisconsin's 14, Maryland, Rutgers, Purdue, and Michigan State, 15 through 18. And Wisconsin plays all four of those. If they can win those four and then defeat Western Illinois, Eastern Michigan, you're at 6. They may need 7. I don't think it's as bad as 14, but we will see. It would be understandable given how bad they've been, but it has changed. And the transfer portal is much better. They list the recruiting of freshmen as still very weak, though that's getting better. But overall, they're winning 7 games. You heard it first here. And if I bet 100 as the maximum, I got 95 on Wisconsin. Tim Van Vorn next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Wisconsin app. The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Vorn on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports, 3-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. He is on the TVV Yingling Hotline. He has his own special hotline. Good evening, sir.
Homer, a pleasure. Good evening.
I believe the Packers added Tyrod Taylor because he will be better in the quarterback room than the guy they had before after what Aaron Rodgers said about how special Taylor was with him when they were on the same team. Joining my club or not?
I was hoping you were going to ask that very question there at the end because I'm in, Homer. I'm in with you. I'm buying it. I'm in your club. I think he's a coach on the field. I think he's an extra coach in the meeting room. And I think he can play a little bit if you need him to. All those are reasons why you add Tyrod Taylor.
He's there. Tyrod Taylor is there to help Jordan Love more than to help the Green Bay Packers. You going there? Will you go that far? Because that's what I think.
I mean,
it's close.
No, I think Love stands on his own at this point, to be honest.
Yeah, he does. But this guy can help make him even better.
Well, Love misses a game or two a year, right? Isn't that kind of the way it's been going? So I think that's great. I mean, Tim Boyle was a cool guy to have in the quarterback room, but you weren't winning games with Tim Boyle coming in to fill in. I think it's more important what happens between the sidelines with Taylor than what happens away.
I thought maybe I could convince you to go all the way, but no. I have said about that everybody needs to know all the facts about Jonathan Gannon, horrific head coach. 29% is my nickname for him, and Jason said that's going too far. It's a gamble, but defensive coordinator only 2 years. Historically horrible as a head coach. And so to me, he might do well, but he needs to be addressed as a gamble. Simple. All right, you want to join that club?
You obviously have some evidence to support your view. I'm okay with Gannon as the hire as the defensive coordinator. I think it's a redemptive opportunity for him. I look at it as though the Packers would reap the benefits. You know, Jeff Hafley was coming back to the NFL. He was on the way up. He had no proven track record to measure up against. Gannon has enough of one as a coordinator whereby he knows, he won't be seen with credibility if he can't do it again. He'll be seen as, a product of certain situations. He wants to do it on his own. He's been a head coach. I thought his press conference was interesting yesterday. He handled it like a guy who's been up there as a head coach before. And my guess is he wants to be a head coach again. You're not going to do that unless you distinguish yourself as a defensive coordinator.
And yet his defense was horrible this last year at Arizona. Doesn't he hold some responsibility for that, even though he's not the coordinator?
He does. He does hold some responsibility for that.
You still don't want to use gamble. I like that. Redemptive opportunity. Is that yours?
Of course, Homer. Where else is that coming from?
I don't know. You hear stuff. I steal stuff all the time because I think it just fits perfectly. Redemptive opportunity.
That's where I am on Jonathan Gannon, and I'm okay with the Packers giving him that opportunity. I'm just, and I know we talked about this last week. I'm not sure how the whole vibe of the continuity is playing. I know you said you thought Matt LaFleur could be emboldened by the contract extension. I think that's a possibility.
I would be.
I think it also could be a little questioning of his own approach, though, and an awareness of, other than from Ed Policy, an awareness of lack of belief in Matt LaFleur, whether it was the report card with the players or whether it was just, the speculation around him. I'm curious to see how he comes off that. It could go either way.
Well, no, I don't. But how do you feel, like, if they're questioning me, I get 1 year left. Hey, dude, we like you. This is it. Prove it. Here, we're giving you a 3-year extension. Come on, TVV. They give you a 3-year extension at work. There's not 1% of you saying, "Oh, I'm a little shaky here." There,
No, I don't think he's. I don't think he's thinking shaky. I think he. I didn't mean it that way. I meant it more of, what he believes in as the way to coach. Yes, he gets the extension. There's a cloak behind that. There just is, and I'm curious. Maybe he'll be emboldened, and maybe it's the best thing in the world for him and for the Packers. That is obviously a possibility.
It is, but I mean, I'd love a cloak that has 3-year extension versus, dude, you don't get it done this year, you're done, right? And they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to. Why did they not want to put that pressure on him, or do they think it presented the what's the negative to you got 1 year left? Let's go.
Just not the NFL way of doing things. I'm not sure that that's really why you should make a certain decision. But who's the last NFL coach that
Mike McCarthy
was into his last year
with Dallas?
Yeah, but he kind of wanted that situation. Oh. I mean, what's the last coach who wanted an extension and was not granted one? Maybe I'm forgetting somebody. I don't know. Nobody springs to mind for me.
They will help us out. Anything else that anybody said, Gannon or all the other conversations, interviews that occurred that you would like to pass along as information helpful to our followers?
I liked listening to Acorn. I think he's going to be an entertaining special teams coordinator. As for the rookies who were at the orientation, I think they communicated well. I was surprised by the size of Brandon Cisse. I thought he'd be a little bigger. To be honest with you, Homer struck me as a little slight.
20. Come on. He'll get bigger.
Not even taller. I thought he'd be a little bigger. Just eyeball. Obviously, the Packers knew what they were getting. I just expected him to be a little bigger. And, Trey Smack has a confidence about him. We've seen kind of that doesn't surprise you. We've seen that in the video from Florida. It will be interesting to me. He hadn't been contacted by Brandon McManus when we spoke with him on Friday. A lot of times in a lot of positions, somebody else has reached out to the draft choices that are joining the team. That had not happened between McManus and Smack as of Friday when we talked to Smack.
Talking with Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports. He is on the exclusive Tim Van Voren Yuengling Hotline. I've said I expect the vet to be the kicker, the start of the season, the old man. Do you want to make a guess or is it too early?
It's too early to make a guess, but the people who think that your scenario there isn't possible, you're missing it. It easily could be Brandon McManus. If the general consensus was these seventh round picks this year were kind of interchangeable with undrafted free agents, it's all kind of a mess or whitewashing of the whole group at any position. Well, then what's wrong with trading two seventh-round picks to go up and take a flyer on Smack? I think it's a good move by the Packers. If Smack's awesome, great. But I just said it on our 5 o'clock sportscast over here at Fox 6. If you're a contender, will you trust a rookie kicker? To me, that'll be the off-season question in Green Bay.
I know. My answer is no. I can see him being the kicker next year. But I don't want to create that as a club. Is that it?
And maybe he's the kickoff guy. You used to have those kickoff guys.
Yes,
I don't know
excellent
if that,
point.
With the new rules, or the, new and rules the, if that's even yeah. worth it. I don't know. I don't really know. But, if Smack doesn't fall on his face, I'm assuming he's in the organization. I don't think that necessarily means he's the kicker.
Now, this has to do with what Gannon said. My Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. What do NFL coordinators do? Adjust their approach to the players or have players adjust to their approach? I strongly believe that they have players adjust to their approach, though I guess they don't say that anymore. They go the other way. But I will defer to you. Which do you think is what happens on teams?
I think the reality is the latter, that they expect, these coordinators expect players to adjust to their system, their belief, their ideas, as opposed to the former.
I would add, I'm curious, when you have somebody like Micah Parsons, some players are so good that you'll definitely adjust. Or maybe they can work in any system and be good at it. What's the reality of what they do when you have a historically good player like that?
I would think you try to adjust for them. It depends on who you are as a coach. You cross sports here. Adrian Griffin's going to be a first-time NBA head coach, and all of a sudden Damian Lillard dropped in his lap. I think that threw a lot of things off. Does that happen in the NFL? Is there a singular game changer like that who makes you approach things differently? Maybe Micah Parsons would be at that level, particularly if you're not expecting to have him. It's one thing to go into a draft and say, okay, you're drafting Fernando Mendoza. He's your quarterback. Maybe he doesn't do exactly what you've had your quarterbacks do, and you can find a happy medium. But it's very rare that you get a significant impact player dropped in your lap in the NFL.
And finally, ESPN talked about the schools, the football, college football, how they've done this year. They have Wisconsin, 14th of 18 teams. Now, Wisconsin does play 15, 16, 17, and 18. I say it's great because they're underestimating the Badgers like everyone else because they will win 7 games. Guaranteed. You want to join my club? They will win 7-5 at least.
I do not, Homer. I'm not a believer. I think the evaluation process has been so flawed over 3 years there on coaches and players. Big picture.
You didn't even flinch.
Not a believer. Not a believer.
Until they do it. Not a believer. Do you want to say it one more time?
I'm not a believer.
Would you say, Homer, back off a little bit, save yourself some money?
You don't back. Come on, you and I've been on long enough together.
I'm already backing off. Whatever I was going to bet, I said if $100 is the maximum bet, I would bet 95, not anymore. I'm down to at least 75. Oh yes, yes. Your tone. Yes, I could still be right, but no, I do not have. You were so fast. You want to say, Homer, come on now. Let's get serious, right? You not only don't want to join my club, you think my club is shaky. Very shaky.
Yeah. I've been the bat signal is out. The air raid attack.
All right, now we're down from 95 down to 70.
About 7.
All right. Thanks, TVV. Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports, on the tee. Next.